Well, good morning, everybody. I was asked to kind of give a synopsis, a testimony, as it says here in our bulletin, but it's not about me. We'll have to save that for another day. And so, it's kind of what we want to do is kind of a brief history of how this church came to be. And maybe you've asked this question in your mind, like, well, how did this church ever start, or why did it ever start, et cetera, et cetera. And but basically, I was thinking of the passage when Thomas comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells Thomas, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And if you can project yourself back, 26 years or whatever it is, 24 years, somewhere in there, 20 plus years. Anyway, our whole culture has moved to a point now where, you know, you encounter people at work, at the street, your neighbors, whatever, and in their mind and in their way of thinking, God is just a concept of what they've come up with. Truth is relative. It's whatever. Well, if that's true for you, that's fine. If that's how you want your God to be. And everybody's got in their mind a picture of what God is, how he is, and what truth is, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing is, in this society, our pluralistic society, it has invaded the entire church culture in the United States and really around the world for the most part. But anyway, when we first began as a church, there's a number of people here in our community who began to encounter this. You know, I can remember sitting in a Sunday school class one Sunday, and this we were talking about the topic came up that Christ was sinless. And a couple of people said, oh, that's impossible, you know, and didn't seem to bother anybody, you know, and because, well, he's just a man, you know, I mean, he's just like us, but a lot better, you know. So the whole, you know, that whole way of errant thinking, so to speak, had permeated the church, and many of us had encountered that, and just through a process of connections and knowing each other and things like that. A sense among us, several groups of people, we came together and began to think about, well, what can we do about this? And in the meantime, a man who was actually planning a church in Wichita with the Presbyterian Church in America, a man named Dick Fisher, we got connected with him, and he came down and kind of helped us form. And of course, he was thinking, well, I can start a Presbyterian Church of America church in Clearwater. But anyway, he came and just, you know, he helped us get organized helped us with our theology and things like that to kind of get on the right track. And just through the process, we began to meet in April of 1986 at the middle school. And just through that, there was something that we wanted to do, and we wanted the church to be the purpose of it. And I think it really, this morning we were doing, it changed my whole plans when I saw this. We were looking over the statement of faith of the Evangelical Free Church, and it's the second point of the 12 points, and I'm just going to read it because it's going to emphasize really what we're about here as a church and why we came to be as a church. And it says, "We believe that God has spoken in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, through the words of human authors, as a verbally inspired word of God. The Bible is without error in the original writings. The complete revelation of his will for salvation, and the ultimate authority by which every realm of human knowledge and endeavor should be judged. Therefore, it is to be believed in all that it teaches, obeyed in all that it requires, and trusted in all that it promises." And so, in essence, the inerrancy of Scripture, the truthfulness and the authority of Scripture really was the foundation, was for why this church began in the first place. Because through our experience in the community, for the most part, it didn't exist. Or, you know, people were going to Wichita, and they didn't want to go to Wichita. They wanted to go to church in their own town and things like that. So all this came together, and we began to meet in April of 86. And through the process, one of the things we decided at the beginning was we didn't want to be an independent church. Meaning, we didn't want to have to come up with our own rules, and as sometimes the independent church, there's, you know, some pastor comes and it becomes, you know, pastor, whoever's church or whatever. We wanted to be under the authority of someone to help us out, and, you know, in case there are problems, and to guide and direct us. And through the hammering of things, we decided we didn't want to be with the Presbyterian Church of America. And then our next step was we investigated the Evangelical Free Church of America and decided that's what we wanted to do. And that was in around December of 86, January of 87 in there. And through that, we met with Bill Hamill, who's now the president of the Free Church in America, and grilled him for several hours one night, and through the process decided that was the direction we wanted to pursue as a group of people. And so through that spring, a committee was formed through other leaders through the Free Church in this area, and Leo Hendricks, just right there, he was one of those people. We had what was called a Mother Church Committee. There's people from other Free Church helped us get started and guided and directed us. And Leo was a part of that, and we're blessed to have him here this morning. And so through this process, it went on, and we had moved up from the middle school to the community room by then. And we're really progressing. And it's the school district offices, if you don't know what that is. And you know, we were cramped for space, and then there's, you know, an element of people, oh, you know, separation of church and state, you know, there's a church meeting on school property, you know, and people are going nuts and stuff, and, you know, and so we just had this pressure plus a desire to, you know, vacate those things. And so through this whole process of while we're trying to be incorporated as a free church, a fellow who actually had the trash business in town had a storefront downtown next to where the fire station used to be, a little 25 by, I don't know how deep it was, 70 feet deep or something. We bought that building, wondering how we're going to pay for it, and we bought it and renovated it and made it into a church. And it was a great place to have a church when there was a fire because everything would stop. But anyway, the whistle would go off, and of course, you always had a warning because in the fire station, there's a fire phone that goes until somebody pushes a button. So it didn't come as a complete shock. But anyway, that was in the summer. I think it was about August of 87 when we moved into that building. And it was all done through the people of the church and renovated by the people of the church. And we met there for 10 years. And through that time, we became incorporated as a free church and began to grow and to build on those things, again, of the centrality of God's word and its truthfulness. And Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And again, the truth and our salvation comes from the word. And again, the only our concept of God, the knowledge we have of God and who he is, comes from Scripture. And again, it became the centrality of things we wanted to do. And then that building was stuffed. It began to fill up with people. We were meeting in other places for Sunday school and meeting there for our church service. Continued to grow. And the interesting thing is, just like America is today, it's very transient in the sense that people come to town, move, get a job, go somewhere else. That, you know, people were coming in and out. And really, of the original people that were when we originated, there's really just a handful of us still here, but that's okay. But it just, again, just shows that that the people who had a dream and began this, you know, many of them are gone to the four corners of the United States, but yet the church remains. And again, it was built upon a purpose and not upon a person or anything like that. But and we give credit to the, at least I do, to the Free Church for allowing that to take place and to continue on for the many years that it has. And a couple last things. Abraham in Hebrews, and then again and also in the Old Testament, says, Abraham believed God, and he credited unto him as righteousness. And the things that we believe about God, again, are found in Scripture. The things that we believe about ourselves, if they're correct, again, are found in Scripture, from the fact that, you know, that we're in need of a Savior, that you know, without him, that we're just reprobates. We're sinful reprobates who are lost and who have a wrong view of who God is and a warped view of what eternity is and a warped view of who we are. But it's through Scripture, it's through God and his Spirit working through Scripture with this group of people who is his temple, We are His temple, His living temple, and the Spirit, as in the tabernacle, dwells in this building with us because it's through us that we do that. And so all this was taking place, and finally, as it got so crowded, we had to do something. And it was August of 97 when we actually moved into this building. And that in and itself is quite a story. And I'm going to let Bill Friedlein take up on that because he was intimately involved in that process. So